Good morning. And you don't have to go to the Amagara website because I have got the packages of the children that are waiting for transformation coming from the difference that generosity, your generosity, a reflection of God's generosity brings about. Before I move further, I'm very grateful for this church, the community of God, for allowing me to be here this morning. And I'm very grateful to God for the generosity of Jeff and Jackie Pollard, who I got to meet several years ago as a student going to Trinity International University, and actually Wheaton when they were members of the First Presbyterian Church of Glen Ellen, who loved me, even though I was a stranger, but in Christ, they are no strangers. So actually, if anyone wants to sponsor a child before I go further, here are forms, packages. Anyone? Anyone in the congregation? Thank you. Anyone else? They will tell you, I have a team out there that will tell you how to do it, how to fill in the forms. Yes? Pass them around. I can see over there a hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Jackie, please. Thank you. Help me. Pass them around. There is a hand. There is a hand there. There is a hand. We might have people going to the website after all. Thank you. I am so grateful for Pastor Phil, because indeed I feel at home already. Thank you, Phil, for making me feel at home. And I do feel loved, and I've been welcomed. It is such an amazing thing that the generosity of God gives to all of us, that you can come from being a stranger to being member and a part of a community of Christ. That's a miracle of transformation that is only possible because of the generosity of God that I would like to talk about. Surprising generosity, that's what it is. It is a surprise. It doesn't happen in other spheres of experience. And it's the generosity that I would like you to know about this morning as I talk about surprising generosity, as an honor to be able to represent the children whose lives have been transformed by the generosity of supporters and partners, as I represent people, the board of Juna Magara, including Mr. Lee out there, who is the author of the book that is being sold, that have invested in the children in Uganda, who have been given a hope, who have been given opportunity to, some of them graduate from universities with first class degrees, something that was, impossible, unthinkable. I am so, so happy and filled with the joy of the Lord to be able to share with you this morning about this ministry of generosity that God is calling all of us to participate in. The text that I'm using is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting from verse 1, where it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." We want you to know about the grace, because generosity starts with understanding and knowing about the grace of God. You know, we've sang the song Amazing Grace. We maybe have our cups and some artifacts that are associated with the Amazing Grace song history. But many of us don't really know what the grace of God has done for us. And Paul and I would like us to get to know about this amazing grace and what it does for our lives. And to get more help from Paul, from Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. This is what it says. Listen carefully. For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. So, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. It is the grace of God generously given to you and to me that we who, because of our sinfulness, because of the sinful nature of God, became outcasts. But because of the grace of God and the goodness of God, packed and delivered to us in Jesus Christ, you and I have been adopted to become children of God. And so we can be members of Christ Community Church. We can become a family. That is the grace of God that we want to know and understand as we move into understanding how that comes into play in moving us forward in the generosity ministry. Amen? And working with orphan children, I understand what it means to be adopted, to be given hope, to have someone rooting for you, to have someone actually look out for you. I've seen what it means to have someone, the faces of the children you saw, be transformed instantaneously because, you know, right now I believe in the Spirit because God communicates to us. You who have already taken the sponsorship packages, you've already put smiles on those children. So thank you so much. It is a painful thing to be an orphan. Physically, but even more so spiritually, when you have no hope, no promise, no share to the covenants of God, it is the most frightening and joy-stealing experience. This is what I have seen. This is what I'm familiar with, working with orphan boys and girls. But it has been my joy to deal with that fear because of the generosity of God given to us through the generosity of God's people. It is that which Paul is talking about, and is that which this church is calling you to be involved in this season. Paul gives us an example of the Macedonian believers. This is a group of people who did not have as much as material possessions go. But they give us a clue, a formula to what generosity is all about. And I want to read further from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 2 says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. I think here is the desire and the hope of every pastor of any church. A situation where members of the congregation are pleading with him or her. Say, please let us give. We want to give. Don't stand in our way. That is a rare experience. Amen? It is a picture of people who were so filled with God. People who are so grateful to God. People who knew the grace of God. They recognized God's grace in their lives. And for you and I to begin the journey of generosity beyond what is expected, that journey starts with that recognition of the grace of God at work in our lives. And we can never, ever outgive God. And these brethren from Macedonia show us an example in times like we are in, where we are worried of what is happening, what the indicators and the people who do the grading do. This is a good example for us who are fearful of what Moody's is doing, downgrading our hopes from AAA to AA. This is an example that gives us hope and courage, even when the economies of Italy and Greece and Africa and elsewhere are indicating negative indicators and bringing us down to hopelessness and despair and no joy. Because here it says, out of their extreme severe trials and extreme poverty, it was like that was their combination and recipe for generosity. This is a church that you want to become a member of. This is a church that is so unlike me and unlike you, where we say we will only give the change. But these are brethren who said, please, please, please allow us to give. Paul says the secret to this kind of giving was the result of appreciation of God's trust in them as individuals, trusting them to be custodians of his resources. Remember, God created us in his image. That's a big trust. We represent God in the world. Tell your neighbor that you are God's representative to me. Tell them. Tell him. Tell her. Don't be bashful. If you don't like the representative you have in the Senate or in the House or whatever, you have a representative next to you. Created in the image of God. That's the first, the greatest treasure and resource that God entrusted with us. Secondly, without life, everything that is there is useless and meaningless to us. We have a proverb in my language that says, life is more precious and treasurable than all the wealth in the world. That is simple, straightforward. Because when you die, it doesn't matter whether you had all the stores in the U.S. filled with your toys. When you die, they are useless. You leave them. There are places where they used to bury people with their treasures. You know, like King Tut, you know, who was buried with his things. You know, these days, you'll be lucky. They burn your body. They no longer even give you the 6 by 3 foot space. You know, you don't deserve it. They put you in a small urn. And in the hole you go. It doesn't matter whether you made headlines and you were like Bill Gates. When you go, you are like Steve Jobs. You're gone. The laptops will remain here. Everything you did, people will continue to enjoy them. And what will survive is what you did with the resources that God entrusted you with. The legacy you leave is what lives beyond your breathing the last breath, which is one of the precious, gracious gifts that God has given to all of us freely. Can you believe? I had to tank up the gas tank before I drove to hear from Winfield. If we all had to pay God every morning for being able to breathe and be alive, how many of us would be able to afford that? And if God kept increasing the prices, you know, the cost of air, oxygen, like the oil people do, how many of us would be able to survive? I want to tell you, maybe Africa would not have any people there. Because poverty is a reality there. And I've seen there are people who have come to my village who thought they didn't have anything. And they have come to this area and they have seen people living with nothing. And they have repented of ungratefulness to God. And their lives have been transformed. And I know I have families where parents want to send their children over to Uganda so that they can learn that experience, that lesson. And usually when I get parents wanting me to take their children, I say, you know, you come along as well. Because it's a great lesson for us. When I came to the U.S. the first time in the fall of 1992 to come to Wheaton College, I was astounded. I was in shock. I was taken to a grocery store to shop. I was used to a place in my little village where there was, if you were lucky, you found maybe a kilo of sugar. And here was this store with so much. And you have brown sugar, you have white sugar, you have cane sugar, you have beetroot sugar, you have this kind of sugar. And it's like, wow, I had a headache just looking at the array of choices. Yeah, I was in shock. You know, bread, you would have to go miles, maybe 20 miles to go to a store that sold bread. And I went to this store in Wheaton College neighborhood. I went to the bread section. Wow! Rye bread, wheat bread, potato bread, you know, all sorts of breads with salt, unsalted, sweet. This time I really needed a painkiller. A recognition and appreciation of God's trust in us by making us stewards of his resources is a primer for generous giving towards the service of God. And the Macedonians got that. They realized that God had been gracious to them. That was because of the grace of God that they had been wiped out by the Roman Empire. The fact that they had life was sufficient for them to plead with Paul, who was teaching them and preaching the gospel to them and revealing this God they had not known. And having known him and known how good he had been to them, they said, please allow us to give. And Paul says, this is what surprised him. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to the missionary Paul, in keeping with God's will. There are many things that we struggle with to know whether they are God's will in our lives. You know, when you're choosing who to date out of your, you know, college, or are you in college? High school. All right? You're going towards high college though. All right? When you're choosing who to date out of the 500 girls in your school, you know, it's a struggle. It's a big struggle. You know, you look at this one and you wonder, is she the one? And, you know, and that's just dating. When it comes to getting married, to choosing a marriage partner, it's even worse. It's a tougher struggle. Because you're thinking of the person you're going to be stuck with for the rest of your life. And you're saying, you know, should I give my life to this person, or should I give my life to this one? Who should I go with? It's tough. Well, here is a beautiful clue that it is okay to give yourself to God, because it is in accordance with His will. You don't have to fast and pray and crack your ribs. It is His will. And when you take that primary step of recognizing that actually what we have, our lives are from God, and you give your life to God, then the rest that is necessary for being involved in the generosity ministry comes easy. Because the hardest is letting go and telling the Lord, yes, I do. Those of you who are married, once you say that, I do, here, it's done. You change. You change from being single to being married. You change from doing whatever you want to being part of the community that you start. And that's what the Macedonian brethren did. And that's what God is calling all of us to be able to do. I did give my life to the Lord. In 1985, I was a student at Makerere University. I had dreams and aspirations of becoming a leader, a revolutionary leader. I knew that the politics of my country were horrible, and I wanted to do a change for good. But I wanted to do it in my own might. And so I led a revolution, a riot at the university in Kampala. I know that there are people who are starting a revolution of Occupy Wall Street. I wanted to occupy the state house. I wanted to occupy the government positions in Uganda. But I was puny me, and I was arrested. I was thrown in prison. It was while I was in prison, hopeless and helpless, seeing my dreams and my vision of a bright Ugandan future being shattered behind the lock and key of a prison door. I found a Bible in prison. And as I read the Bible, hope and faith was kindled in me. And I recalled the scripture that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And so I called on the name of this Lord, who I didn't believe in, who I had come to believe he was the God of the missionary colonialists who had come to Africa and told us about this God so that they would take advantage of us. I called on his name, and he is a living God, because he heard me and got me out of prison. And even though a case was opened against me for holding an unlawful assembly, when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, like the Macedonians did, it was a Sunday. The next day, Monday, I went to court, and the case was dismissed. Hallelujah. Because someone had told me the day I gave my life to Christ, he said, Ben, it's going to be okay. All is going to be well with you. And he said, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ. And when it happened in the courthouse, I almost jumped with joy and excitement, knowing that I could pursue my dream now. I was told, hush, you might be re-erected for contempt of court. And so I kind of restrained myself. But when I left, I said, Lord, I am yours. I'm so glad you've set me free. And I waited for next Sunday. Then I went to the chapel, and I was there jigging away with joy in the Lord who had set me free, like the Macedonians, exceeding joy. And a church usher said, hey, young man, we don't do that here. I said, man, you don't know where I have been. You don't know what it means to have your hands tied and your legs. And now here I am, not only free from the fear of the government, but free from the fear of rebellion against God. I told him, I'm going to dance for the Lord. If you want, you can leave the church, but I'm here to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. And those who have come to Uganda and participated in the worship experiences of the churches that we work with, we worship the Lord in freedom. Because Christ sets us free. Christ sets you free when you give yourself to Him. You belong to the one who owns you. You cease to be an orphan to become a child of God. And as a child of God, in your family, in your father's presence, you are free. If you have a family where your children are not free in your presence, may God visit your family and bring His grace to bear there. So I'm talking about what I know, what I experienced. And it's out of that I offered my life. I said, Lord, take my past experience of organizing riots and rebellion against authority. Use it to organize people to surrender and submit to your grace and to your will. And that's why I stand before you this moment. Because of God and His grace. And it's because of surrender to God that I was able to survive the scourge of death through AIDS that killed all the people whose orphans now I take care of by God's grace, with the help of people who have responded and become generous participants. Third reason for being able to participate generously is readiness to give back to God. You know, Scripture says we can only have what we are given from heaven. And Paul actually challenges us to not boast about anything, because all we have, we've received. We are inheritors of not only the grace of God, but the work of others who were before us. There is a person who started the telephone communication line. Every one of us who has a telephone, a cell phone now, should not forget that there is someone who spent sleepless nights trying to bring this equipment for the use of humanity. Was he Graham Bell or Marconi or someone? We are recipients of what those who went before us gave to us. You and I have received everything we have from God. It's like a bank. Those of you who own banks, you know, bank accounts, you know that you possess what you have on your account when you deposit. If you don't make any deposit, your balance is what? Zero. There's nothing. And if you go there to look for money, you go to the ATM machine and you put in your card, you say your balance is zero. It will spew out the card. That's the reality. You only go to get what you have deposited. And hopefully, if the institution, the bank is good, with interest. Amen? Well, God has considered and counted you and I as His investment field. He's given you His image, His life, and all the other things that come with life. So when God comes to withdraw from you and I, will He find what he has deposited with us with interest? Or will he find a bank that has gone under with nothing to show? Paul gives us this great example that the Macedonian brethren were willing and pleading to be given the opportunity to give back to God. And they wanted to do it cheerfully because they recognized that God loves a cheerful giver. Why? This is what 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God was not compelled to give us his son. God was not obligated to give us his son to save us. We deserved death, but he gave his son cheerfully, who came and died on the cross for us, and he went willingly because it was God's will. And at the cross, my debt, your debt, was paid for in full. And so what we need to do is to not occupy Wall Street, but occupy the cross. That's what I did. Because at the cross, my debts, my sins are crossed out. And my joy is given back to me. And I'm able to realize how much God has done for me. And then becoming a co-worker with him becomes easy. And that allows me to do the last point I want to mention, which is doing the best work. You see, we can do things in this world with the lives that we have. We can do okay things, you know. We can do nice things. But the Macedonians were so powered by grace, so motivated by grace, that they wanted to excel in giving. They wanted to do the extraordinary in recognition of the extraordinary God who had done extraordinary work for them. They wanted to do extreme giving. You know, you're used to seeing extreme makeovers, extreme survival lives. These wanted to, you know, it's a church that every pastor dreams to be a pastor of. It's a church that is ready to do mission. They're saying, please get out of our way. Don't even give us a limited budget. Just give us an open door to go into the world and serve the Lord. And I'm here to invite you to come to Uganda. Jeff and Jackie are ready. In fact, I was saying we should have a sign-up sheet for those who want to come. And if you are afraid and scared, we're going to pray for you before we go back. Because in Christ, there is no fear. It's no fear. For he came to take away our fears. He took away my fear of retribution and being killed by a lawless government. He took away that fear. And amazingly, I was able to later go to preach to the people who had imprisoned me because the government was actually overthrown. And I was able to go to prison and preach to the people who had arrested me and told them the love of God. And some of them got saved, and some of them are dead. The president who told me he would kill me if I continued to cause trouble through the university students I was leading is dead, and I'm here by the grace of God to tell you that God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And so he asks us to become participants in doing the extraordinary even with a litro that we have, $35 a month, give the child hope and a dream realized. One of the kids we have, he actually ran after me. I had taken a group of people from the First Presbyterian Church of Glen Eden in 2003. We visited the school to share the gospel. He said, "Uncle Ben, please, can you ask your friends to help me stay in school?" They had told him to go home. He couldn't continue in school. His father was dead. His mother was unable to do anything, and he was hopeless. We actually got change out of our pockets and gave him and said, "Go and pay and stay in school." In 2010, he graduated with a first class degree in information technology from a university. They took him back. He became an instant lecturer because people got change from their pockets and supported this kid. He's now actually doing a master's degree at the Uganda Christian University, and he's already impacting other young people because of the generosity that people gave. I'm going to finish. Doing the best work in response to God who works in us to will and to do according to his good purpose, according to Philippians 2:13. This is what Paul says. In verse 10, 2 Corinthians 8, he says, "And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter." It's advice, it's not a command. It's advice about what is best. All right? And this is what he says. "Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." So, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, as you move with the church into the generosity challenge, take this advice. Do your best. They are not asking you to give what you don't have. No. The example and the lesson from the Macedonians is that they gave themselves first. When you give yourself to the Lord, you give him your checkbooks, you give him your accounts, you give him your time, you give him your home, you give him full control of what he has entrusted you with. I started sponsoring children as soon as I got out of the university. The AIDS epidemic had not ravaged the country as it has done now, but I was working with high school students through Scripture Union, and I would meet kids who had needs. I started leaving one child who was underprivileged and was not able to stay in school. And I traveled a lot, so I asked him to come and housekeep for me. I helped him to go through high school. I helped him to go through college. And I actually helped him to get married. I provided a dowry for him before I was married, and people thought I was crazy. And then when I came to Wheaton College, I actually worked. During spring and summertime, I worked in the gardens of people in Glen Eden and Wheaton. I planted flowers and raked their gardens. And as I worked with them, people would ask me what I was doing in the area. And I would be glad they asked, because I would tell them about the love of Christ. And I saved money. I went back home and I finished building a house that I had started building when I finished the university. That is the house where my guests would stay, and that's the house that we offered for the orphans to be cared for and nurtured from. When in the fall of 2003, I took a group of missionaries with me, and we woke up in the morning. The house was surrounded by grandmothers and widows with children coughing and crying, and they gave them to us. They said, "We've heard you talk about the love of God. We've heard you tell us about Jesus who saved you and is your best buddy. We've heard you say Jesus loves children and wants children brought to him. Here they are. You are Jesus' representative." My heart broke. I wept. Lee Mulder was there. We all wept. Because we were not ready for that. We told the grandmothers, "Sorry, we can't help now. But we said, go pray. We will be waiting to be the eyes and the hands and the feet for you. And we'll be able to do whatever God allows us to do to take care of these children." And so, in ministering to the orphan children, we've been able to minister to grandmothers and grandfathers. We've been able to minister to communities. Our programs do take care of maternal health. And the gospel is being proclaimed in the communities, in the schools, in the prisons, in all places where the grace of God is allowing us to go. And that is why I am here, to encourage you, to advise you that here is an opportunity for you to do your best. If you've never done anything that someone appreciated as the best, here is the opportunity. Young people, you can come to Uganda. Like Matt did. Matt was a 19-year-old student of Trinity when we met in 2009. He had about a trip I was organizing to take to Uganda. He had been praying that God would take him to Africa and specifically to Uganda. And I was praying that God would provide people to go with me and provision for them and protection. And at the end of the prayer session, he said, "Dude, God answered my prayer immediately." I said, "What?" He said, "I was asking God, I swear that group will verify that I asked God to take me to Uganda." He said, "You're going to Uganda? Can you take me?" I said, "You bet I can. I better do that. If God has answered your prayer, who am I to say no?" Matt came to Uganda. He wanted to stay there. I said, "You got to go back to school," because I had promised his mama that Matt would come back. When he was done with school, he went back to Uganda, met a girl who had graduated from Moody Bible Institute. They fell in love. They came back, they told their parents, "I did their wedding in Texas in February 2005. They've been living in Uganda since 2006. Doing extraordinary things, doing the best, because they gave themselves to the Lord. And you know what? Their parents and their grandparents said, "You go and do what we couldn't do in our days." Their grandmother helped them build a home in Uganda. They are raising three of their children in that home. It is amazing what God is able to do when we say, "Yes, Lord, here we are." I'm going to finish here and pray. If you would like to say yes to God, you want to reoffer your life to God, to make it meaningful, please stand and we'll pray. Thank you. You want to offer your life, you want to say, "Yes, I want to be like the Macedonian brothers and sisters. I'm going to give because it won't hurt." You've heard it say, "You give until it hurts." It will never hurt. You are not going to give as Jesus Christ gave. Maybe you can give until you finish your checkbook, but they will give you another one. Wow, what a joy. Pastor Phil, come and pray for God's people. My heart is filled. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for a living example of what the grace of God does in someone's life. I know there's some in this room who see Ben and say, yeah, that could never be me. And Father, we know the grace and the power of the gospel. And then when the gospel gets someone, it changes them. And Lord, I pray this morning for so many in this room who maybe are feeling that tug and say, God, I don't know if I could ever do that, but could you use me? Father, I just pray that you would just transform, that you would motivate them, you would power them by the gospel, that we would serve at home and give and live abroad, that others would know the surpassing greatness of Jesus, that the poor would be ministered, that the orphans would find homes. Lord, would you use us for that? Lord, we thank you. Bless us with the blessings we already have in the heavenly places in Jesus. May we know the greatness of what we've been given in the gospel and to live that out. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.